Good morning, everybody, and welcome to be with us. And we have all to welcome the new season, really a hot season. And finally, we are into the summer, so thanks to God. Good morning, this is the interim co-pastor Joachim. I'd like to welcome all of you and the Providence Presbyterian Church. We extend a special welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. We are glad you can be with us. On this Sunday, we have a special occasion where we're going to worship the Lord together and also serve and receive the Holy Communion. As all of you know, if you look in front of you and the pew, you will see a pad. You can put your name there. We'd like to welcome you. We'd like to know and to be in touch with you. So please, if you feel comfortable, just write your name down and let us know so we can welcome you. And now it's time for announcements.
Morning. I'd like to make an announcement that's on behalf of the Outreach Committee and an expression of the outreach of this congregation, and in regard to RIOP, the Rhode Island Organizing Project, which members of our congregation have been involved in for 4 or 5 years now. RIOP this year has been involved in a number of conversations with legislators of the state legislature. We've met with 20 of them so far, and the governor, and most recently the staff of the Speaker of the House, who Gordon Fox, who is in charge and has a great deal of influence over the state budget. You may remember that last year we held a large action in which people gathered here at this church to express our concern and support for senior services funding, relating specifically to respite care, which is the kind of care that allows people to elderly people to remain in their homes and to enable the people who are family members who care for them to have a break occasionally. So respite care, Meals on Wheels, which are brought to seniors, and senior centers, which are places which seniors go to. All of these are issues that affect members of this congregation as well as the communities we live in. This year, RIOP has decided not to have a large action, but to focus on meeting with legislators and helping get these issues and keep these issues on the agenda of our legislators as they pass a budget. Funding for these issues have, since 2008, regularly been cut until last year when we were successful in getting them to maintain some money in the budget. But if you know anything about trends of aging in the country, but also in Rhode Island, these are going to be issues of concern that are growing. What we're asking and hoping to do in this congregation in the next week or so is to make telephone calls to the Speaker of the House, particularly those of you who live in District 4, which is the district here that the church is in. And if you aren't quite sure of that, we have a way of helping you remember that and make that call. We have a sheet that describes the kind of issues, the speaker's phone number. You would call his office during office hours and probably not speak to him, but speak to an aide who will record the fact that you have called. And legislators all over the state have reminded us that these phone calls mean more than an email or a personal letter. And these are logged, and we're right in budget time. So if you speak to Dorothy Lusignan or to me following the service, we'll be glad to remind you if you live in District 4 or not, or how to find out who your legislators are, although everybody can call the Speaker of the House because he represents all of us in terms of this issue, whether we get a chance to vote for him in our local district or not. So if you speak to us following, and if we had 40 or 50 phone calls from this church, it would be an incredible accomplishment and be added to those of others around the city who are making calls to get this and keep this on their minds as they deal with the whole budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements?
I am now the picnic lady. Just a reminder, on June 16th, which is also Father's Day and Youth Sunday in our church, there's an all-church picnic meeting at Lippitt Park, which is at the end of Hope Street, where it meets with Blackstone Boulevard. It's a bring-your-own picnic and blanket or chairs. We'll just find a shady spot near the park and enjoy a nice time of fellowship together. Switching gears to another announcement, I also wanted to announce that we will be hosting a baby shower at our house for Irene and Ryan Broderick, and I think Ryan's here. Could you wave your hand? Is she here? Oh, they're coming. And it'll be Saturday, June 22nd, and details will be following next Sunday. I will have little flyers and directions to our house, so just to let everyone know to save the date. Thanks.
Thank you. And we are done with the survey. You forget. So. I don't want to forget that, because really I'm happy, and I'd like to welcome Pastor Jenny Smenick to be with us. And I know she's not a guest, she belongs to this community and this church. So I'm really excited to look with her for the next 2 months. And at the same time, we are going to pray for our co-pastor who are now on sabbatical, Pastor Chris. And she's safely arriving on May 28th to Zambia. And we pray for her journey and for God to bless whatever on her schedule and for the whole Foster's family. Today we'll have a meeting after our worship time for the congregation for the election of the officer. And so the members should stay. Hopefully you can stay after the worship to do the election. Tomorrow we'll have the play group at 10:30. So a reminder for people who are part of that. Tuesday, June 4th, will be our third meeting as the Interim Study Committee. And I like people who are members of the Interim Study Committee to stand, if we have any here. I want you to know them, because they are really, we are working with the church. And they are the connector between the committee and the church on many views and how we review our history and how we think about the future of the leadership for this church. So there is no secret happening from our side, and shouldn't be secret happening on from your side too. So please communicate with us and let us know, as we will promise we will keep you informed with everything we are doing in our community, in our committee. In our next meeting, which actually this Tuesday, we will review the survey, which is a big news. So we are done with the survey, and hopefully the DVD is there. So the committee will meet and review, and then we'll bring the summary and let you know the result of the survey. And now let us come to call to worship. And remember what the Lord said to us. As the psalmist said, I raised my eyes toward the mountains, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God will not allow your foot to slip. your guardian does not sleep. Truly, the guardian of Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. And again, I'd like to welcome all of you with the love and the joy we have in Jesus Christ. And now let us continue our worship with hymn number 2236. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now it's time to confess our sins and our needs through a time of silence. Now let us pray together. We are precious in your sight, yet we often forget that we are your beloved. We confess that our love is fickle and inconstant. We follow selfish goals and deny that our way of life harms others and hurts your world. We are sorry and we want to change. Create in us clean heart, strengthen our resolve, reconcile us one to another, and bless us with your peace. Amen. Song of Confession, number 22-25, verse 1. People of God, please listen. God holds out his hand of mercy and bless us by saying, you told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you. Our sins are forgiven. He takes away our guilt. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and free. Amen. Thank you.
those of you who know me know I am a mechanical failure. I've just jinxed the mic. Dan said it was easy, right? While he is working, think about the time that we are going to share in a second, where you offer your prayers of thanksgiving, your concerns, in the presence of this company, and then we'll gather them and share them together. So we come to the time of prayer. Although I can't turn the mic on, I can run. So what will we share together in prayer this morning? I'm going to go here and then here. Ben?
May 28th is my birthday and I'm 6.
Ben is 6.
I'd like to prayers for my grandmother who fell and hurt her back. She one vertebrae collapsed on another, and she has a small fracture, and she has to spend a couple weeks in the hospital, and then, depending, a few months in a rehabilitation facility. Nicole.
For Nicole, as she heals.
This is a Thanksgiving and a big request. My cousin Sue had a heart transplant this week. That's a Thanksgiving because also she got that heart transplant sooner than most people get after they get on the waiting list. So prayers for her and prayers for her father, my Uncle Jack, another scientist like my dad who had trouble seeing how he could have faith and be a scientist at the same time. And he's very elderly, and he also, in the same week as the heart transplant, which was just this past week, he also lost his son, Charles. So prayers for all of them.
For Jack as he goes through this difficult time. Where else are we? Over here? This is good. I need exercise. You all know that.
Today is my birthday.
How old are you?
I'm 6.
For Leah's 6th birthday. Where else are we? Okay, I'm going to go this way and then come back around. So y'all keep your thoughts together over there.
My sister, Linda Richards, had a knee replacement this week. So if you would pray for her recovery.
For Linda.
I was watching the news, and I shouldn't, but all the stuff that's been going on in Oklahoma, I want prayers for all the people there. They're struggling with all these tornadoes and loss of life, and it's just horrendous how so many things have gone on over there. I just want a lot of prayers for the people there to get through all of this time. Thank you.
For the people in Oklahoma and all of the Midwest, it's not just the tornadoes that have hit the ground, but the constant thought that they might.
Which is one reason I don't live in the Midwest anymore. I had a real joy this last 2 days being with my niece in Boston. So that was a real joy. But I would like to ask for Patrice. I would like to ask for prayers for Walter. His PSA has gone up to 7, which means that the cancer is getting more aggressive, and he's likely to have some new treatment in another month. But prayers.
So prayers for Walter. Lee.
We said goodbye to our son, Sim, Friday. He's on his way to San Diego, where his next duty station is. We ask for your prayers. He'll be driving across the tornado alley, you know, through Oklahoma, and especially on that trip, would appreciate your prayers. Second thing, thank you for all your prayers during this last year. Celebrated, I guess if that's a word, anniversary of my heart attack. And this has been sort of an interesting year, but thank you for all your prayers. And the other joy is that I am now officially retired.
Some of us might be jealous, Lee. Where else are we?
Just a word from Chris. I heard from her this morning. She was floating down the Zambezi River on the way to Victoria Falls. So hopefully they'll stop before they get to the falls. Anyway, she's seeing lots of mission activities, meeting with people there, and just pray for her in this travel.
Continued prayers for Pastor Chris that she might have a wonderful sabbatical.
We can thank God for all the med students and grad and PhD students who just graduated and pray for them, especially for Craig and Hannah Otney from our own congregation as they are in transition and moving into new jobs or further training. There's a lot of transition going on. And I would also like prayers for a colleague and friend of mine, Paula, whose father was in a really serious cycling accident 2 weeks ago and just passed away suddenly. So would love prayers for Paula and her family.
Elena.
I ask please to continue pray for my mother-in-law. Her name is Camila. She's moved here to Rhode Island to rehab, but she's still confused. We don't know, really know what to do. The surgery was a success, but mentally she doesn't know where she is, basically. Thank you.
So continued prayers for Elena's mother-in-law. And I would offer a celebration. My nephew, Meg's favorite cousin, Jeff, who you have been praying for, has been home with his family for a couple of weeks. His strength and courage in this time has been just really amazing and inspiring for my entire family. He starts his second of 8 chemotherapy treatments in the hospital on Wednesday. So continue to hold him in prayer that his spirits might continue to be lifted and that he might continue to trust that God will heal him fully. Anything else?
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for the gift of life we can see every day. We wake up and hear the singing of the birds outside our windows. Help us to remember with all difficulties and all hardship we can face in a day, it's a new day. It's a birth of a new day. Help us to remind the gift of living an extra day in our life, and help us to to remember how much we can live responsible to each other and to everything in the nature around us. We thank you because in your message through Jesus Christ, you remind us you are one of us. You are the God who can be in flesh. You are the God who can be in a really hard situation. In the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem, you became one of us, sharing and understanding our humanity, our suffering, and even our problems and troubles. We thank you that even in your crucifixion in Jerusalem, you identifying yourself with every person who suffers and lives in pain and trouble. On cross, you carried the sin and the suffering of all human beings and reconciled us with you and with our fellow human beings. We thank you, God, because you remind us you are the God of joy and also of suffering. You can relate to people who can celebrate wonderful occasions, and also you can cry with people who are really going through a hard time. And we love you because you are the God of all creatures and everything in our life. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with all the troubles and pains experienced by your people everywhere, east and west, south and north, from every race and every religion. We bring all of them in front of you because you know you are the place of comfort and peace for us. We come to you, and especially we put our people here in PBC. We put them in your hands. And we know there is no gentle place and there is no wonderful place more than your hands that can provide protection, security, and love. And we ask for your gentle touch in all these things we heard today. And we pray, as Mariana asked it for her grandmother, Nicole, we ask God to be with her and give her the strength to go through this physical time. Keep healing her, and we believe in you. You are the healer, and you are the God who can walk with us every mile. And we thank you for the celebration of the birthday, and we thank you for everything we can see in the Harrison families. And we thank you for safe coming back from their trip. We ask you, God, for Jill cousin, Sue, as she got the gift of the transplant. What a wonderful gift of living, and another gift came from another person. We thank you, God, for celebration of life and celebration of really love. And we pray for the whole family and for the dad. And we know through the struggle between the questions in our head and the need for a faith and for something to dwell on, we know you always will be there for us. We all our people, even when we call ourselves, we are not your people. You never leave us alone. You will be with us, supporting us. Walk with us through the wonder and through strange time. We thank you, God, for Leah's birthday as we celebrate the young life of this church. Help us to remember every child in this church. And help us to remember how to nurture and care for them in different stages of their life. We pray for Sally's sister, Linda, to give her strength through after she went through the knee surgery. We please, God, we ask you to give strength, as we know it could be hard and painful, but you can give the strength to go through this time. And help us to see your hand, the hand of comfort and peace. We pray for people in different places in this nation and all over who really suffered from a natural disaster, and especially people in Oklahoma, or the people with fear with the specific season in the whole Midwest. Give them your security and your love, and help us, God, to see your hand in every day and in every moment. We thank you, God, for the time Judy had was her niece, and we thank you, God, for the support we can receive when we get together with people we care or they care for us. And we pray for Walter to give him strength and to walk the way with him and to be with him in every day and every night. We thank you, God, for Lee as we celebrated the anniversary of looking back and see the hard times as behind his back. And we thank you for his full recovery. We celebrate that. And as we pray for the family to give them strength as they said goodbye to Tim, to really be with him and to support him and secure him. We pray for everything here. We pray for our co-pastor who's on sabbatical, Pastor Chris. We pray for a time of enjoyment and learning and keep really discovering God's knowledge and love in different places of this world. We pray for med students and grads. Pray especially for Craig and Hannah. Be with them, God, and guide them as they find a new path and they find a new way to start a new chapter in their life. We pray for Paula's Kathy's friend. Please, God, be with the family and be with her at this really a very hard time to see you or even to can find the comfort and the peace we can find in your name and in your loving people around us. We pray for Elena's mother-in-law, Camilla, to really help her, God, to recover after the surgery and help us with the confusion. Help us to see the hands that cares for her. And we thank you for the doctors and nurses who helped her through this time. We thank you for Jeannie's nephew as he continued to go through the through more help and more need. We thank you, God, for the family who stands by him. And we thank you for people who cares for him. And we ask for strength and for power for the whole journey. We pray for families who lost their dear ones. We pray for the quick recovery for the injured. We especially pray for those who live with permanent disability. Sustain us with your power, those who are in the midst of all difficulties and pains. Come, healing spirit, and change us and open our eyes to see. Our Father, we are asking you to look at our pain, what if it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Remove all the pain, or help us to live with that if that's your will. And fill us with your peace and comfort, love and joy. And help us, God, as you remind us to pray together. Merciful God, accept our prayer and yearning. You are the only strength we have. We believe no one can take the power of prayer away from us. In the name of Jesus, our friend and redeemer, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
I invite all the boys and girls to come join me up front. Hello, hello. There you go. Hello, hello. You can sit up here if you want. Lucy, Eileen, you want to sit up on the bench over there? Yes, no, maybe? All right. I have something to show you all. You out there won't be able to see it, but that's okay. You know what this is, friends? What is this? A puzzle. And it's a puzzle of something. Now, here's the question I want to ask. If you're missing some of the pieces of this puzzle, will it be easy or hard to put it together? If it's easy to put it together without all its pieces, raise your hand. If it's hard. Okay, so it's hard to put a puzzle together without, and what if one piece was missing? What if one piece was missing? Would the puzzle be able to be finished? No, you need all the pieces, don't you? Now, let's say that this was a puzzle with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces, and you each had a piece. How would you put it together? What would you have to do? Put your own piece in. That is absolutely right. Everybody would have to take the piece that they had and put it in the puzzle before we'd get the picture of what the whole thing is. And puzzles tend to get their pieces missing, don't they? Yeah. Losing puzzle pieces is a very easy thing to do, isn't it? Especially when they're little. Yeah, they go under the couch, they get under chairs. So, here's something important for you to remember. There is a puzzle named Providence Presbyterian Church. Did you know that? Is that a surprise to you? Yeah, it is. Well, let me tell you this. You, each and every one of you, are an important part of the puzzle that is this community of faith. Without you, we're not whole. we're not complete. If you're not here, we can't see the whole picture. So you're important. You're important to this church, but most importantly, you are important to God. Oh, yeah. So here's what I want to do. I want to say a prayer. And will you repeat after me? Are you ready for this? Okay, let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that we are your children. Help us remember how important we are to you. Amen. Thank you.
Morning. Today's Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 4 and 18 through 19. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The New Testament lesson is from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of the Lord. Our next hymn is Called as Partners in Christ's Service, number 343 in the large hymnal.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Sometimes when I'm leafing through the hymnal looking for a hymn that speaks the words that I want to say to a congregation that reflects what I think that I need to say on a Sunday morning, the hymn will say it so much more clearly than I can. So if you want to skip the sermon, you can just review the hymn. It's very similar. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. Bless us this morning that words spoken and sung and words heard might be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the record, I have spent my life on the move. In my growing up years, my parents moved, I think at least 5 times, might be more. Since I've been married, I have moved 8 times. So that's 13 moves, not including the move to college, moving into Meg's house before our house in Brooklyn was built, settling into that current home, and the 4 apartments I lived in when I was a student at Yale Divinity School, okay? That's a lot of moving around. For a person who hates change, and that's me, it's a pretty tough road. Being what I have come to call a corporate gypsy hasn't increased my appreciation for change. In fact, it's made me yearn, and Bob will say yearn often, for the past. I truly miss the little Cape Cod-style house in Bristol, Connecticut, where my children grew up. It only had a 1-car garage, and it had a terrible driveway that went around a curve and up a big hill. On snowy days, getting a car to the top of that driveway was impossible. The basement was damp. The bedrooms were tiny, too tiny for 5 growing people. The yard was sloped and very difficult to mow. Sometime ask my son-in-law, Kirk, who was my lawn guy, how difficult that yard was. But in the wall on that kitchen were the pencil lines that marked each of my children's birthdays. You know what I'm talking about, right? David, age 5, Meg, 8, 12, 16. That house held so many cherished memories, memories of days that will never return. The house itself wasn't wonderful, but it was cozy, and it was home. Leaving it behind meant, for me, leaving behind much of what was familiar and comfortable. In today's Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah is offering words of comfort to a community that has been relocated. The people of Israel had seen Jerusalem destroyed, their best and brightest carried off to captivity in Babylon. For years, Israel had lived in exile and lamented their loss. They remembered a time when they felt God's presence, when they knew God was protecting them, when they understood their lives to be secure. The prophet speaks to the people of Israel saying, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." In the Hebrew scriptures, the language of redemption implies kinship, a family connection. Isaiah is offering comfort to the exiled people of Israel, not in distant futuristic language, but with the intimate language of familial love. The future is secure because the people of Israel are God's people, and God will not let them go. Remember, the prophet is saying, who you are and to whom you belong. That wall in the old kitchen, the one with the special pencil marks for every birthday, it served a similar purpose for me. It reminded my kids that we belonged to each other. Looking at that wall reminded us that we'd done some growing up together. We had a shared story, and ultimately, we were secure in one another's love. It was a concrete sign of our shared story. Isaiah's words continue, offering this promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For the people of Israel, hearing those words, would immediately call to mind the story that the people shared with God. The promise holds both a reminder of a shared history and a promise for the future. This is the God who had brought order out of the chaos at creation. This is the God who had brought the people of Israel through the waters of the Red Sea to safety. God's promise to God's people is grounded in history. Remember, remember, the prophet says. And yet, there is more. Just a few verses later in Isaiah, as Edward read to us, God says to God's people, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." All right, it's a little contradictory, don't you think? Remember, forget. But maybe God is suggesting something just a little bit different. Shared history is important. It grounds us, reminding us who we are and to whom we belong. But shared history is not an end in itself. It's the place we start from when we move toward the future. Moving forward into the future, it requires that we leave behind some of what is familiar and comforting. Moving forward means change, and change can be hard. I live in a wonderful new house now. My kids, all three of them, come to visit often. Each time they come, we weave new stories that we add to the old story of our life together. But it's not the same. I still miss those marks on the wall. But in many ways, this new house is better. In the text from Isaiah, the prophet uses a lot of water images. So this week, as I was thinking about the text, I was wondering, if we were comparing life to a body of water, what would be the best metaphor? A pool? Maybe a lake? The ocean? Swimming pool? This is what I think. You knew it was coming to this, right? I always tell you what I think. I think life is a river. It's always moving along. We're mostly contained within its banks, but things are constantly changing. The same is true for the life of any faith community. I stood right here one April Sunday, just a little over a year ago, and I assured you that in spite of Pastor Dave's departure and the changes that lay ahead for you as a community of faith, that your future was secure. Today, you are changed, and as I understand from what I hear, in many ways, you're stronger than you were back then. Pastor Medhat is here offering his particular unique wisdom, his leadership, and a new perspective. Old friends have taken on new roles. You've tried a few new ways of doing things. I know that because I offered a communion in a new way in January here. Back then, when I talked to you, you had the reassurance of Pastor Chris's continued presence in your midst. Well, I'm back in the pulpit today because Pastor Chris is taking a well-deserved sabbatical. And I'm here to tell you that your future is secure today for the same reason that it has always been. You are God's people, those who have been named and claimed by God. It is by the grace of God that your future is secure. That's the good news. But along with any piece of good news comes just a bit of challenge. The prophet said, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old." In and of itself, remembering the past is not a bad thing. And during this interim time, you need to do that work. It's healthy. Who we are today arises out of the sum total of who we have been in the past. We can learn from mistakes that we've made and from the things that we've done well. But here's the catch. If we clench those memories too tightly, we can't receive the gifts that God wants to offer us anew. Over the next 2 months in our sermons, Pastor Medhat and I will be talking about some of the specific characteristics and patterns of behavior that enable healthy change in organizations. Each week, we'll describe one characteristic, and then we'll talk about the way it's connected to the life of faith. It's our hope that you all will think about these concepts and talk back to us, talk to the members of your interim committee. Wonder whether these characteristics are already present in this community or if you wish they were here. Ask questions about how they might be helpful. Argue with us about the need to apply these ideas. I believe that each of the traits we'll discuss has the potential to be helpful in this faith community, to help you create space for the Holy Spirit to be at work. But it will take every one of us working together to accomplish the task that lies ahead. And this is why. No two lives are alike. No two of you will hear my words in the same way. Each of you holds a piece to the puzzle that when assembled will be the future of this congregation. If all of us, each one offers their best insight or their best question, if we all contribute whatever it is we have to contribute to fashioning this church's future, the result will be greater than the sum of the parts. We are woven together more tightly as community when we welcome a little controversy, when we ask each other tough questions, when we listen lovingly to the answers that are given to us. We become the community God intends when we engage in the struggle that is involved in living into the future God has created for us. I hate moving, but I understand that I am always part of the decision to do so. At any point in time, I could say, no, I'm staying, I'm not going. But I made a commitment to move through life with Bob, and with each change, which each time I've moved, I've grown, and God's blessings have been offered to me. Let me offer you an image to take with you this week. As you remember that it takes many grains to create a loaf of bread, many grapes to be pressed into the juice that we'll share at the table. Think about this image. No matter how long you've been worshiping here, think of yourself now as part of the river that is Providence Presbyterian Church. Flow with us into the future. Don't stand by the side of the river watching it move. It's not even enough to just get into that river. No, be part of the river. Move with us as we flow forward into the future that God is calling us to, recognizing that God goes with us every step of the way. Thanks be to God.
Please stand and join with me in the affirmation of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, We trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Amen. You may be seated. I think so, Tess. Now is the time for our tithes and our offerings. Dear Lord, we give with grateful hearts a small piece of the blessings you have first given to us. We pray that this offering would go to do your good works in this church, in this city, and in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been in a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who feel that you have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here.
May God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, cross the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We give you thanks for your Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, upon this bread, within this cup, among your people throughout the world.
Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, holy and loving God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen.
On the night before he died, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it into his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance."
Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to all of them to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me."
For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Christ until Christ comes again.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, holy things for holy people.